things, and then Christian will be before us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've watched over us for another day, and that we're able to be here tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we can do so without any fear of being persecuted. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll take full advantage of the religious freedom that we have in this country, that we'll let our light shine, that we'll continue to do all we can to spread the gospel of Christ to as many people as we can. We praise you tonight, and we pray that we might praise you every day of our lives, that we'll give you the reverence that you deserve, that we'll always magnify your name in every way that we can. We pray that we'll be edified tonight by the preaching of your word. We pray that you'll continue to be with Christian as he preaches to us, that he'll proclaim the word boldly as he has so far this week and as he has for years. We pray that he'll continue to do that. Help us now as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to have focused minds, that we might be edified and that we might grow in the faith by the preaching of your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good evening once again. I'm so delighted to be in front of you, having been given the opportunity to lead in this gospel meeting. Last evening, we started the five calls that we said we must answer. In other words, we did say we have no choice. We cannot say it's a call that we could, or we can, or we may, or we would, but we must, on compulsion, a requirement, and also mandatory, that we answer to those calls. So we started looking at the call to life. We said we are here, and that's the fact. We are in this world. We did not know how. God did not ask our consent. He selected our heritage, and then we were born into a ruptured world, a lot of difficulties we are faced with. And also, we noticed that our days are fleeting. Our days are fleeting. They are very, very short, however long. Even if we live up to 150 years, it is still short. And by the time we begin to understand life, because I want to believe there are some kids out among us now that they don't know what is going on around them. They are just running there and their parents giving them food, buying them clothes. By the time they get to college, they begin to say, oh, I'm trying to get some education so that I can work. By the time you begin to work, get your family, you are in the old age, and pretty soon or later, we have to exit this world. So however long is fleeting, is short. And then, yes, last night we also said we need to be mindful of not having misplaced priorities in life. That is to say, we need to get it right, or else God will either refer to us as fools, or he may not admit us, or he may not count us worthy. And therefore, we encourage all those who have not yet obeyed the gospel to do so, and for all of us who have done, to continue steadfastly. So tonight, we'll begin the second call. I did say five, right? Five. So the first one was the call to life, and this second one is the call to death. It's the call to death. Brethren, except Christ comes first. Because that's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. Paul was admonishing those Christians who were lamenting over the dead. All right, in verse 15, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So it means that if the good Lord should come tomorrow, because none of us knows when they will come, then we which are alive will not experience death, but we shall be caught up, all right, to be with him forever and ever. But except Christ comes first, which we do not know, we all have an appointment. that we must meet. The appointment is in Hebrews 9 and verse 27. I'll read only the first part. It says, and is appointed unto a man once to die. And the Greek word, as you can see, is thanatos. Death, it is not so much of it's just simply a separation. You know, when I preach in funerals back home, because we have a lot of deaths in Sierra Leone, because our life expectancy is about 37 years. I don't know how much yours is, but people are stricken with a lot of illnesses, ailments. They cannot even afford medication. So we have a lot of funerals. But what I normally do at funerals when I'm teaching, I always tell them that what has happened now is a separation that we cannot see. It is only understood by the mind. Because when God made Adam, remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam lay motionless. He could not move. He could not see. He could not talk. He could not do anything that we, as men can do or women can do, until God breathed into his nostrils, and then man became a living soul. So at death, what happens is a separation. The soul, all right, is detached from what? The body. The body goes back to the ground, and then the soul goes to God who gave it. So that's death. I can move now, I can talk, you can jump, you can eat, you can sleep, you can do all the actions that men do. But there will come a time an appointment will be made, maybe required of you to even give up the ghost, to even have the soul will be separated from the body. The spirit will be separated from the body based on what you think man is, because there are some people who say man is dichotomous. Some are saying that it's trichotomous, either two being or threefold. So we just believe in that man has a body and a soul. So it is a reality of life that we never seem quite prepared for. Now I'm talking about death. Even I myself, I'm uneasy because I have tasted life. I have seen what life is. I have a lot of people that I so love. Look at all my brethren that I did not know in person. I so love you. I want to even stay with you and not go back to to Sierra Leone. But I have some work down there to watch over the flock along with my fellow elder at Priscilla Street. So I have to go. By next week, I think we will have been reaching home by now. All right, next week, by his grace, we will be reaching home so that we can be with the saints at Priscilla Street. But it's a reality that someday I may not be able to be with them, because death takes from us our most valued possessions, our relationship with people we love, the people we talk with, the people we dream with, the people we laugh with, the people we fight with, the people we cry with. Death steals them all. I'm sure none of us here has answered the second call. The first call we have all answered. But I want to believe there has been in your family, in your neighborhood, somewhere, or you may have heard that somebody has passed. All right, so death means somewhat that you have to leave this world. Someday, sooner or later, we all will answer that call. That's the physical death. The call to death is quite interesting, because I have seen two people die, and they are my parents. My mother, she died in a hospital. I was seated on the bedside, and then the doctor came and said, "You know what? Don't buy any more medicine." I said, "Why?" He said, she's gone. So I said, "Mom," I said, "what would you have?" He said, "I want water." So I decided to go for some large amount of water so that she can drink and satisfy. So when I was going, then the nurse said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking water for my mother." She said, "Come, come, 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 come." And then she emptied almost all of the glass and gave me a teaspoon, a coffee spoon. She said, "You now go and give her water." So I said, "Yeah, Mom, here's the water." And she opened her mouth. She could not even take a teaspoon of water. And then she started, you know, I said, "What is going on?" She said, she wanted to say something, but I want to believe that. When she finally gave up the ghost, she died against her will. Because we had just had our children, she wanted to be with the grandchildren. She wanted to bring them up and all that. So she fought hard until she gave up the ghost. My dad as well, a brother in the faith. Well, the morning when I was up there sleeping, Mary said, "There's some noise. I think Dad has given up the ghost." So when I went down there, where I met my dad, he was not even walking, all right? But he walked from, I don't know whether he ran or whatever. And there were some people, you know, some boys who were sleeping in the living room. So Dad jumped all over all of those people, and then he stumbled down there and he fell and he died. I want to believe probably the angel of death, you understand, when he saw that it was his time, he wanted to escape. I said, but you see, we all must die. I have seen somebody who died in the hospital. After we prayed and prayed, all of a sudden, the person just turned his face against the wall. And that was it. Brethren, we will have to die. We will have to die, and we'll die against our will, because there will be a lot of unfinished business that we'll leave behind. It is almost at the point that when we begin to enjoy life, that we die. You know, I don't know how many people want to be like these extremist Islamists who want to put devices all over themselves and explode themselves among other people. But this is truly unimaginable. All right? So, man is a twofold being. Body is mortal, but the soul shall exist forever. That's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. It said, "Then shall the dust return unto the dust from whence it came, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." So there has to be a separation. Why you and I are talking, laughing, dancing, doing all of these things is simply because we have that spirit. We have that soul in us. But when the soul is detached from the body, this body decays. Whether it's cremated, whether it's rotten, you know, down under the ground, whatever, the body will remain on earth. That is why Jesus Christ gave us a preview of what will likely happen after death in the alien world. In Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31, we saw two people, having lived life on this earth, died. Well, normally, when somebody dies, if that person is a wealthy person or probably is a middle class or upper class, he is given what people say a befitting funeral. That is to say, we have a nice casket. He may have good friends around them, the family, and all that. Unlike a pauper. Do you know who is a pauper? Somebody who is poor, who has nothing to eat, probably. We saw somebody, but I don't. We saw somebody coming back to the house. We said, asked whether he's a homeless man. Yes. Probably you may have a homeless man who nobody knows, and he dies. He will be taken probably to some unrecognized graveyard. So Jesus Christ said there were two people, Lazarus and the rich man. You see, when the rich man was on earth, he fared sumptuously. He had on linen. He had on expensive clothes. Whereas Lazarus used to beg of the crumbs that fell from his table. But that does not mean that poverty is a virtue. Neither riches a vice. You can be rich. I'm happy for you. I want to be rich. But again, as we did say during one of the sermons we had before, all right, we should be very, very careful with how we let our riches handle us. Because Jesus Christ said, what the Bible says, it is hard for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. You know why? Because when I was a little boy, my grandma usually gave me the thread to go through. And for some reason, as soon as that thread becomes a little hunch, all right, it will never go. So just imagine the camel, the head is like this, and then the... So Jesus Christ said, it's easy for you to go through than a rich man. They will have to be careful about what we do, how we let our riches handle us. Because they handle us, we do not handle them any longer. Because if we do, then we may have control. So Jesus Christ said, two of them died. There is one thing that negates all. Whether you are rich, you are poor, you are powerful, you are this, as long as you are alive, there is one thing that negates all, which is death. So both of them died. I want to believe that if money could prevent death, a lot of people would still be around that you know about. I remember, it was Brenda Fassie. So Brenda Fassie, I saw her in the hospital on the television how she was surrounded with a lot of oxygen tanks and all that. But she ended up giving up the ghost. When the hour comes, we'll have to die. So the rich man died. Lazarus died. See what happens. He was given a good funeral, and Lazarus was taken to the potter's field, buried unnoticed. But listen, Jesus Christ said, and they open up their eyes in the alien world. They retain their faculties. Brethren, when you and I change time for eternity, we'll remember. If I go before Brother Dawn, I'll remember that I left Brother Dawn at the Brown Street Church of Christ. I will know. But as they entered, they found themselves separated. The rich man, because he had misused his opportunity, all right, not to distribute, or for some other reason, he was in torment. And then Lazarus, for some reason, he was what? In Abraham's bosom. So he said, Lazarus, Father Abraham, can you please send Lazarus? You know why that statement? Many of us, because we do things for others, we tend to have a claim on those people. I want to believe that because Lazarus used to eat from his crumbs, the crumbs that fell from his table, he thought he still has that power over Lazarus. So but I am saying, no. He said he cannot. In fact, there is a chasm. There's a whole gulf between us. You cannot come, we cannot go to you. So you just forget. But just imagine the relief he wanted. The relief was just one drop of water. Right now, as I know I have some water there, but not just one drop will satisfy me. But he was in total torment. And then he resigned. When he resigned, he said, Father Abraham, please, I have 5 brethren back there. Please send somebody to go and teach them not to come to this place because of the torment he was going through. But what was the answer? We all know. He said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. I will say they have done. They have all the elders. They have Christian. They have many, many other preachers. If you will not hear us, neither would hear anybody from heaven. So, what happens after death in the alien world? We may either be in torment or in Abraham's bosom, as we all hope to be. All right? So, we must die. It's a sad reality. The sad reality, because physical life depends on breath. When the breath is taken away, In Genesis 2, the Lord formed man out of the dust of ground and breathed into his nostrils, and what? Man became a living soul. So at death, the heart stops. You know, I've seen a lot of people, they listen, whether your heart beat and all of that. It's the engine ceases to run. It's the blood that actually makes the flesh, everything run. It cannot be started. All my activities, all your activities would end right there and then. If you are lifted this way, you won't appreciate. If you are dragged that way, you won't appreciate. If they put on this suit on you, you will not say, why didn't you give me my tuxedo? Nothing, you are lifeless, lifeless, all activities end. But what is this second call? This second call is so much of a call that makes me worried because it is no respecter. You know, if I want to talk to Brother Taylor, I know what to do. Sometimes you would have noticed when I'm talking, I make sure my shoulders are bent because he's a senior brother for me in the gospel. But when I want to talk to Brother Don, is my colleague, I say, come on, Don, we're through with that. But again, death does not have any respect. If you have your money, you have your power, you have your influence, you have everything, when death comes for you, my dear brother and sister, if when it comes for me, even though I'm preaching, I will go. It's a must. It's a must. It does not have any respect for saint or sinner. It's okay because I'm in the church. No, I won't die. Look at that guy who has not been coming to church. Probably he will be the next one on the road. Young or old. You know, if it were first in, first out, then I understand. All the old people first before you have the young ones after. But now death has nothing like that. You may have somebody who is 112, and then death will come and snatch the 17-year-old. It has no respect. So for those of us who say, I'm still young, let me just wait until I'm 35, I'm 36, I'm 37. Remember, you are not promised for tomorrow. I am not. That's what James said. What is your life? It's like a vapor. You are not promised forth for tomorrow. Because you know what? I hope it does not happen in our circle. We all before God this evening. I pray hard that it does not happen. But do you know that not everybody on earth this evening will see tomorrow morning? Did you know that? Do you believe that? That some people will die tonight? You know that? It may not be me. It may not be you. But down in some other village, deep down in Africa, probably death will visit somebody. Somebody once told me this, I'm yet to prove it, that every minute, every action happens in the world. Probably somebody will be born or somebody will die. Somebody will this, somebody will that. Probably there is somebody that is stealing right now. There is somebody that is killing somebody right now. That's what the person says. But I'm yet to agree to that. So young or old, death will come for us. High or low, it will come for us. Employed or unemployed, you won't say, oh, look at this guy. He's a key person in that company. What if I snatch him now? The company, no. When it comes for your time to go, you go. Rich and poor, kings and peasants, literate and educated, illiterate and uneducated, time, place, manner, I do not know when I'll have to answer that call. You do not know when. The manner in which, you know, there's a program we usually watch back home. It's called 1,000 Ways to Die. I wonder whether you have seen that yet. 1,000 Ways to Die. You can die at any time. You have so many ways. You could be and funny episodes. Somebody will just hold his mic and try to, and some other funny thing will happen, and then the person what? is killed. Even drinking water. There was one episode. There was a drinking competition, water. And from that drinking, the person died. So it means that we all, even though we have not answered the second call yet, but we know other people have answered the second call. So therefore, we have to be ready. It's a must that we answer the call. Let's look at some contradictory thoughts about death. You know, there are times when people die, they say it's common. No. Yes, it's common. Because since sin entered the world, death has been the common lot of all men. Because for us in Adam, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, Bible says, for us in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we all have to die. It's common. But let me tell you that death is still real. In every case. If any of my family member dies now, let me say me. Because, you know, I'm not too afraid of death. Because I know on whom I have believed. I know the ultimate I have to go. Death is not an annihilation. It's not a termination of me. I'm a Christian. I look forward to that. It's a dark door through which I should go into a brighter place. That's how I view death. But honestly, when I die, Mary, all my children, my brothers, everybody, it's going to be, they're not going to be too happy. They won't say, well, it's common. No, it's here. It's going to be shocking. It's going to be strange in every case. And death is mysterious, most people say. Of course. It is shrouded in mysteries. Man's mind cannot fathom the deep mysteries of death, as Paul discussed in 1 Corinthians 15, 43 to 57. Yet, it is not something just mysterious. It is not a figment of our imagination or an empty dream, but a stark, stern reality. John 11, 4 says, when Jesus heard this, when he was told of Lazarus, all right? He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, there are times, death is well ordered in the plan of God. It is uncertain, yes. Because we move through life wondering when, where would death strike, as God has not made known the manner, place, or time yet. But yet still it is certain. Because Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5 says, for the living know that they shall surely die, but the dead know nothing. Brethren, dying is part of living. We are all here. That's the fact. And then let's begin to brace ourselves to part with time for eternity. It's going to be a separation, as I said. Our bosom companions will be separated from us at death. Yet through death, Christians pass into the presence of the Lord. To us, it's a uniting. It's an end of our earthly pilgrimage, but not an annihilation, but only a door through which the righteous enter into the sphere of life with God at the resurrection. Because in James 5, 28 and 29, the Bible says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming that they which are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, at death, we only end our pilgrimage on earth. That is why we Christians, even though there are contradictory thoughts about it, we say death is an appointment. An appointment that we did not make, but we must keep. Bible says, it's appointed unto man wants to die, and after this judgment. It is not an unforeseen calamity. It is not just something that happened in a haphazard manner. but a well-ordered incident in the plan of God. It's a departure. Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, when he was about to depart from time to eternity, he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those that love his appearing. It's a release. It's a release from sin, sorrow, sickness, distress, disappointment. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 to 4, if we can read that. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 4. The Bible tells us that this, if we know, if this our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, all right, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that we be clothed, we shall not be found naked. For that we are in the tabernacle, do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. So what we have here, we have a release from all the burden, the sorrow of this world. And also it's going to be a rest. We Christians will view death a rest. Brethren, I've seen life in Germany over the television. I've seen life in America over the television. Life in China. Everybody going helter-skelter, helter-skelter every day. In Sierra Leone, if you behold the city, you never want to go there the second time. Because people are carrying all kinds of load up and down. The world is restless. But death, it's an encouragement to us because it's a rest. The Bible says in Revelation 14 and verse 13, it's an encouragement as we live in this restless age. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord ye henceforth. Ye said the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors and their good works to follow them. This was John on the island of Patmos receiving instructions. It's a home going. Brethren, this world is not our home. You may have beautiful abodes where you sleep, where you pass the night, where you and your family live. But that's not compared to the home that we have. And if we plan more, we walk towards it, that we are going to go to that home. Let us know that our streets, even the streets, you know, I was so amazed when I saw the 8-lane streets and all of that. But along the way, I noticed there are some potholes and all of that. And I said, oh, the great America, I thank God for heaven. Because mine, I'm going to walk on streets of gold. Amen. I'm going to walk on streets of gold, not the kind of streets that we are driving on. You know, as we go, you know, but now our streets will be paved with gold, and that's the home that will be. In John 14, 1 to 4, Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I know you have seen mansions. You have seen Michael Jackson's mansion. You have seen LeBron James' mansion. You have seen Michael Jordan's mansion. These are all fantastic. But you know our mansions, prepared by God himself? I long to be in that mansion. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. The Bible says we are confident, I say, and unwilling. How many Christians can say like Paul, willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord? Brethren, our second call should prepare us that we will soon leave this world. Soon, maybe 50 years from now, 100 years from now, but I'm sure by 20, 95. Are you following me? What we are in, what? 2019. 2095 will be 76 more years. 76 more years added to my age. I want to be man. I don't want to be around because I will give Mary a lot of problems. And those who are older than me now, I don't want to believe that you won't be around because you would have gone up to 200. And of course, life expectancy does not afford nobody. I don't know if anybody who has reached 150. Or I can add it for you. But I'm sure that by 83,000, so can make this soon too long. We are in 2019, but in 3,000, that is, we count up to 2020, up to 3,000, about some 980 something more years, we will be around. We won't. So it's a call that we must answer, whether we like it or not. So, what am I building up to? We were born into this world without our consent. God just, I'm sending this soul into this world. He's going to be born to this parent. He's going to be born in America. He's going to be exposed to this. He's going to be all, he's selected all about us. And then you are born in a sinful and what? World, a rough-shod world, where you come under a great temptation, all of that, and then you begin to accept. All right, that time you are on your way, you come across the gospel, you obey the gospel, and then you keep on fighting. And then by the time you begin to get closer, you die. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you still die. My conclusion here is, some facts we just cannot change. Some facts we can't change. You know, in study, we have three things. We call the first one is an hypothesis. I don't know whether that's how you pronounce it, hypothesis. It's an intelligent guess. All right? It can be questioned, all of that. And then sometimes it's graduated. You know, it's tested in one or two areas, then it becomes what? A theory. All right? And then lastly, it becomes a fact or a law. That's why you have the law of Archimedes' principle, the law of gravity, well established. These are facts that we cannot change. Your life is your own. My life is my own. You cannot change the fact that you are here. I cannot change the fact that Christian is in this world now. You cannot change the fact that life here is short and death is certain. We are here. Life is short and death is certain, even though it's uncertain, because we don't know when, how, and where. You and I know not when death may come, no how. It could be no surprise to the saints here that Christian tomorrow morning, Don will say, "Hey, Christian, are you up?" That's what the first thing he normally says in the morning. "Are you up? Are you ready?" Then no answer. "Hey, what's going on, Christian?" He comes back then. He sees that when he... I may have been gone. The guy did not know when, how. But, I, when I accept the challenge of life, because all is not rosy for me, all is not rosy for any of us, and let us determine the kind of life we are going to live, and the kind of death that we are going to die. Are we going to live the life as if God is not actually recording what we are doing? Because we have other calls that we must answer. Remember, I said five. We can accept the challenge of life and determine the kind of life we live and the kind of death we'll die. One of two. Live the life of the righteous and die the right life of the die the righteous death. Or live the life of the evil and unrighteous and die the death of the wicked. That's the choice. That's the only choice we have here. We are here. We will soon die. But we can now determine. Brother, I know that the choices you've made is pointing in that direction that you want to die the death of the righteous, which is very good. But remember, there is Satan out there trying to make you not to. He's always there. Buffeting, exposing you to a lot of temptation. Revelation 14:13, we've quoted it. This is very, very, very important to all of us, because it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Brethren, if we die in the Lord, that prepositional phrase, in the Lord, you can die outside of the Lord, which is not our wish for you tonight, those of you who have come and have not yet obeyed the gospel. We pray that at the end of my sermon, when we give the invitation, you can come forth and begin to determine the kind of life you live and the kind of death that you die. Because it's a must that you are here, and it's a must that one day you will go. And when you die, you have this third and the fourth call to answer. And then we'll discuss the fifth call in general, because that is predicated upon all the other calls that we've discussed. It's quite easy to do. Quite easy to do. You have heard the word of God this evening. Because Romans 17 says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You have heard. It's not my words. The word of God. You need to believe. To believe is to accept it. Not just listen. Believe it. Because Jesus himself said in John 18 verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins." You are not going to die the righteous and death if you do not believe. "For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Let us know that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. A lot of people doubted. That is why on the coast of Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16, Jesus Christ was with his apostles. And then he asked them, he said, who do men say that I am? And then he said, some say you are Elias, some say this and all of that. He knew that they did not understand who he really was. Then he turned toward his disciples, say, "But who do you think I am?" Then, being led by the Spirit of God, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, that is accepting the belief. And then he said, "I say also unto you, Peter, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it." You see, brethren, we are in this world fighting through hopeless without Christ. But God so loved the world, in his reconciliation, we have a man, we have Jesus Christ, who had paid the price for our sins. It's a gift. So, our first step is to believe on him. And let us repent of our sins. Repentance is not just feeling regretful Oh, I shouldn't have done it. But the next day you are doing it. It's a complete turnaround. A complete turnaround because in Acts 17 and verse 30, the Bible says, "In the times of ignorance God winked, but commanded every man everywhere to repent." Verse 31, we'll quote it later. "But he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised Jesus Christ from the dead." We need to confess Jesus. That is absolutely necessary as the Son of God. When Romans 10 and verse 10, Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10 and verse 32 that whosoever confesses me before men, the same will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Philip to the eunuch, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He said, "Except thou believe that Jesus is the Son." You know, I want to believe that confession was done before his baptism. All right, when they approached that water. After you've done that, for those of you who have not yet been added, you need to be baptized. Baptism is not what we have in many places. Baptism is baptizo. It's burial. It's immersion. It's not sprinkling, not pouring. It's not immersed. You cannot have it expressed in its form of a symbol, but you need to be immersed. Remember in Acts chapter 8, verse 39, the Bible says, "And when they were come up out of the water, so Philip and the eunuch went both into the water and he baptized them." So it's not just this fun. You need to be immersed. You need to, as Romans 6, 3 to 6 says, we need to reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Suppose I die today. And then you say, where we go to village. Anytime we are going to village, you know, that's my favorite place anyway, village. I always see a cemetery. Eh? We pass by a cemetery always. But you see, that's a burial ground. I don't see any bodies on top. So if we are taking somebody to bury that person, we're not going to just take the person. If the person is like this remote, and this is the ground, we say, okay, well, that's it. We take small, and then we have buried that person. We would have buried that person, no. We need to deep down and all of that and bury the person and cover it. That's why baptism requires that the total word immersion. You be baptized. And when you are baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38 says, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost after your sin, after the remission of your sins. Brethren, you should not tarry because you are not guaranteed for tomorrow. You are here. You may die at any time. I may die at any time. But that's not a death wish. I want all of us to live up to 2,335. You know, I'm going to make it long so that you can sleep well. many times when I teach about these lessons, you know, people tend to, as reminded, but that's the fact. That's the fact. I like Brother Don when he's Matt giving his announcement. He always talks about the opportunity that God has given us. Today is an opportunity. It's a chance that we may not have. So, for those of you who have not yet been baptized, this could be your last chance. I pray that you have many more. But you need to do it now. Bible says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And for all who have been added to the Lord's church, we have been baptized, we have been doing this, but we didn't know that someday we'll change time for eternity. And then we didn't know, or probably we knew, and we have been downplaying the fact that when we change time for eternity, we retain our faculties. We'll be in that alien world. We know all what is going on, but we cannot affect the world back there. That's what Jesus Christ said. We cannot. Where we are placed in the alien world, that's where we'll be until the next call that will handle, the call after the next call. You can now begin to think what it is. So, brethren, tonight, I want to thank God for your patience in listening to what His Word says. These first two nights, we established the fact that we are here. Nobody can say, hey, I am not in this world. As soon as you begin to talk that, we think that probably you're going, you know. And then all of us know that, hey, you cannot just say, I'll be here forever. People will laugh at you. Not so? But again, how soon for you to leave? We all cannot determine. I know that we all wish to live so long, but one day Christ will come. If he does not come early, one thing will lead us to depart. Remember, sickness is part of a mort. Dying, we may get sick and never recover. But not all sicknesses are unto death, as we read in the scriptures with Lazarus. But one day, the world shall be no more. When we answer those first two calls, when we were answered, the third call we'll discuss tomorrow, if the Lord will. Amen. So as I take my seat, I encourage you once again, as the song leader will come up, to lead the invitation song. If you have any reason to go to the Lord in prayer asking for forgiveness and begin to plan on repentance, so that you can walk assiduously towards the salvation, march on steadfastly, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So when you change time for eternity, you know that you are going to meet with the saints that have gone on before. Hebrews 10, the Bible says, we, even though God is a consuming fire, we do not have a fearful and what expectation of what is to come, because we know on whom we have believed. As we stand and sing this song of invitation, would you take a good decision for yourself? I will do mine. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it's an individual responsibility. We must all individually. I will do mine, and I guess you will do yours. As we stand and sing.